Earlier this week, I said, God, where are you? We seem to just be going through so many things, whether it's physical, spiritual, financial. We're just going through some stuff. And it ain't no shame in it to ask your Father where he is. So I asked God, I said, where are you? Because I wanted to know. I said, I know you're living in me.
That's right.
And I appreciate that.
That's right.
But there's some other things I need to hear from you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Just so many things. And you can't stop going. You got to keep going. You just got to keep moving. You gotta keep fighting. Can't give up. Amen.
Amen.
It's easier to give up than it is to keep fighting.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And God put fight in us.
That's right.
So that's why we fight. The good fight faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So that we can control the things in our world.
Yes.
The way you control the things in your world is by not allowing them to affect you.
That's right.
As I was studying the Bible, I was reading, I thought about Moses.
Yeah.
I thought about how God spoke to him on the mount out of a burning bush.
Right.
And then I thought about how God used him to deliver Israel from Egypt. But you know what? They got to a hill. They got to the top of the mountain.
That's right.
And the Red Sea was in front of them. And you had all them folks murmuring and complaining and bellyaching.
That's right.
You could have left us in Egypt.
Yeah.
Why would I want to stay someplace that I got to make bricks and with straw? And if the Pharaoh gets mad at you, he won't give you no straw to make it. But that's, you know, we get like that at times. We complain.
Yeah.
We don't mean to. Because we know God not listening to our complaining anyway. Especially when he's already figured out that he gave us more than enough to sustain ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's all in this Bible.
Yes.
But you know what I like about it? Even Joseph. Think about Joseph in the book of Genesis. Think about Joseph. Threw him in a pit. Left him there for dead. Then they decided they would sell him for slavery. Into slavery. I'm sure sometime or another he must have thought, Lord, where are you? So then he finds himself in the king's mansion. Well, of course, the king's wife wants to sleep with him, and he won't. So she lied on him. Now he's in the dungeon. He was better off in the pit. But now he's in the dungeon. Nasty, cold, wet, damp dungeon. No toilets.
Oh, Lord.
No face bowls.
Oh.
And then he told a dream. He interpreted the dream for God. And the guy went to the king and told the king like he interpreted the dream. He thought the guy was going to go help him. I would, Lord, where are you? When is it finally going to be my time to get some help?
Yeah.
Huh? I said, my goodness. I was sitting there and I ain't going to lie to you, I was complaining, Asia. 5 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting there complaining.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, my knees hurt. My lower back hurt. The shots I'm taking for my allergies, if I get in too much humidity, it makes my body itch all over. I was complaining. I said, Lord, where are you? Where are you at? But then I listened to Pastor Key's testimony. He was on the freeway with him. He stayed on the freeway with Pastor Keys. But I don't understand what I'm saying. And then early this morning, the Lord spoke to me in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, in the 12th verse. Exodus 14 and 12. Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Leave us alone, Moses. We like making bricks. We like being beat on a daily basis because our polo is down. Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And then Moses finally spoke up. This is what God spoke to me and said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What that was telling me was that I'm asking God, where are you? And he's telling me to just stand still. And when he talks about stand still, it means to be flexible or to stand firm and be confident in who you are. And to see, when it talks about seeing, now it says no man has ever seen God. But you have to allow your perception to see those things which are not. So, we know he exists, because the Word of God tells us. I don't care what the scientists say. They can say we came from monkeys all they want. First time my mother sprained my tail, I realized I wasn't a monkey. So it don't matter. But Moses, stand still. What he means is stop running your mouth. Yeah. Stop thinking bad thoughts. Amen. Stop talking yourself into trouble. Because that's what I was doing, Brother Tony, talking myself into trouble. Making myself feel worse than I already felt. Complaining. Man, I was just complaining. I was going uptown too. He says, stand still and see the salvation. And when God talks about salvation, he's talking about prosperity. And most importantly, deliverance. The Lord which he will show you today, for the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. When we begin to cast down imaginations, and the word imagination in the Greek means reasoning. When we stop reasoning within ourselves why we're in the condition we're in and why the stuff is going on around us, when we stop reasoning about it and just start thanking God for where we are and what we do have. Yeah. But for some strange reason, we just can't never have enough. A friend of mine, I was complaining about my knee one day, and he asked me to come pick him up and drop him off someplace. And when he came out, I forgot that he had lost one of his legs. And I looked at him, and he was just as happy and just as crazy And here I am, got both legs. Grumbling, complaining, instead of standing still and recognizing the power of God. Seeing the salvation of the Lord. Knowing that God is more than able. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That means keep silent. Yeah, I was going to say that, man, but I decided to be nice. Keep silent. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Stop bellyaching. And you'll find out that your problem is not your problem. So I decided, Reverend Gilmore, I'm going to put it all on God. You said if I stand still, if I keep my mouth shut, that you'll fight my battle for me. You can't fight it if I'm standing in the way. That's like, take for instance, me, Pastor Relford, Pastor Keys. Pastor Keys getting ready to sock me in the back of the head, but Pastor Relford standing behind me. Who gonna get hit? That's how we are. We block our blessing by standing in front of God in the way. And God is trying to tell us it's enough for that. Stop complaining. Look at what was it, Elijah. He's sitting by the brook chair. God bringing him food. He just is fat. Clean water. And God feeding him every day. And God decided, you know what? It's time for me to stop feeding you. Because you'll sit here all for the rest of your life and not do the work that I called you to do. We complain ourselves out of our blessing. Or out of the work of God that He has called us to do. They told me this thing was going to be easy, but they lied to me. They should have told me what I was getting into. Then I could have made up my mind whether I wanted to try it or not. So many people went through in the Bible. Everybody went through something.
Yes, they did.
They had a struggle. Look at Samson.
Yeah.
He loved women. And he didn't even love his own tribe. He loved Philistine women. And he ain't supposed to be fooling around with Philistine women. But every chance he got, he was chasing them Philistine women. Then he met Delilah. If he had kept his mouth shut, he wouldn't have found himself between them pillars. Don't let you put you in a position that you just about cannot get out of. Been there, done that. And I said, I showed you where you were headed, but you went anyway. It's quiet in here. We are in a battle for our lives. I can't save you. You can't save me. Only God can save us. But we got to be able to recognize, even though we can't see Him, that He's still here. And stop asking the question, where are you, Lord? When so many other times He's done what? Healed you, delivered you, blessed you, financially. You would think think that would be enough. But it's not. You know why? Because we as human beings are flat out greedy. Enough is never enough. Let's go to the book of Romans. The 5th chapter. And then God said, if you don't believe that I told you to keep silent and stand still, go to Romans. You can't win, so let me do it for you. Man, I've fought so many battles and found myself face down on the ground. And it didn't help a bit. The 5th chapter of Romans. It says, now this is to me. Everything I preach is to me first. It's always to me first. And if you happen to get something out of what God has given me, then it'll bless you. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now I had a problem with that one. Now, God, you telling me I'm supposed to boast and rejoice when I'm catching L-L-E-H. You telling me I'm supposed to run around with a smile on my face and happy and uplifted and not be angry about nothing and not complain about nothing? In tribulation. And tribulation means pressure or anguish or trouble. You know the old saying, pressure does what? Bust pipes. So you got to make sure your pipe don't bust. But you got to use the right material so that it don't bust. The bad material is your complaining.
Yeah.
That's the bad stuff. And God is trying to tell us something. Knowing that pressure worketh or accomplishes patience. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life. Almost 30 years ago. Lord, teach me patience. Big mistake. Don't ever pray for patience. You will regret it for the rest of your life. Because remember, there's only one way you can have patience. It's through tribulation. Do trial. Hurt, pain, anguish. And then to have peace of mind in all of that, you have no choice but to trust in God.
Amen. Amen.
You can't trust in your eyes because they will deceive you.
Yes.
You can't trust in your hearing because it'll mess you up.
Oh, yeah.
You can't trust in your feelings because they'll have you all over the place.
Yes. Yes.
And really don't get caught up in emotionalism.
Oh, yes.
My wife cracks me up. I hope she's not watching. She'll get the going off. And then I said, what is wrong with you, woman? Well, you know I'm a little emotional. It's that time. I say, you know what? That used to work. But that don't work no more. We're supposed to be children of the King. We're not supposed to let our emotions control our mindset. She looked at me and left. I guess she didn't want to say what was on her mind. She just let me escape. But tribulation, pressure, work with patience. And see, I used to believe, I never read it. I just went by what preachers were telling me that, you know, if you fast for 90 days, you're going to be so anointed. I found out I fasted for 14 days and I was so hungry. I didn't feel no power since dying. I thought I was going to be able to lay hands on stuff and it's just going to jump up. Or I could stand out in the rain and say, stop raining. It rained hard. But what I did find out, when I started going through all these trials and this tribulation junk, and I learned to praise Him in the midst of it, I found out what the anointing was. I found out that the anointing was actually Christ in me, the hope of glory. And by Him getting stronger, it made me have peace of mind. Don't pray for patience. And patience, experience. Now we all need experience. You know, every time you see a job offer now, they want you to have some kind of experience. But they find out, like states, for example, state troopers. Their test was so hard. It was ridiculous. But they found out they couldn't find enough good men that had the capability and the knowledge to pass the test. So just recently, they lowered their standards. The test isn't as hard as it used to be. So what does that tell you? You better have some kind of experience with trouble erupts in your life. You better have some kind of experience when your finances seem to do this. You better have some kind of experience when you get sick in your body. You better have some type of experience when your brothers and your sisters and your friends turn against you. You better have some type of experience. What kind of experience is that? That you know you've been through it already. If you made it then, you can make it now. Amen. That's called experience. But you can't get the experience if you don't have the patience. And you ain't going to have the patience unless you have the trials. That sounds a little crazy, don't it? Lord, I feel I just can't be blessed without the trials. Then he said, well, if that happened, you'd be calling on Dagon instead of Jesus. Dagon was one of them Philistine gods that God made fall off his throne. Patience, experience, and experience what? Hope. You need hope. The reason you need hope, because hope is expectation and confidence. You have to expect to have what you need from God. All these things bring about hope. I hope I get a new car. But you don't believe you're going to get it. So why are you hoping for it? If you're going to hope you're going to get a new car, then you've got to have some kind of expectation of getting that new car. You just can't sit on your and expect God to drop it in your lap. It don't happen like that. And anyway, I think if God actually did come down and sit next to us and we knew it was God, we'd tear, make a hole in one of these walls. Maybe liked it. ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad. That means when it talks about this, you don't have to be ashamed, that means that you don't have to have feelings and thoughts and ideas in your mind that's separating you from the love of God. Amen. That's why Paul made the statement, I'm not letting nothing separate me from the love of God. Amen. Then he goes on talking about not tribulation, not pain, not agony, not distress, no food and all this stuff. He said, I'm not going to let none of these things separate me. What he was saying was, I'm not going to let it separate my mind or change my mindset concerning the God that saved me. Amen. Just because he didn't give me what I wanted don't mean he don't love me. It's a strong possibility he didn't give you what you wanted because you didn't need it. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our minds. That's why you go through some of the things you go through. So you can tell folks how they can make it. The hope of the whole thing is when you're going through, when you go through it and you make it through it, and you stand still and you see the actual power of God working for you, then you can say to your, then you can say to somebody, look here, you can make it. You can get through this. Yeah. And you're telling them that because you have already experienced it. It's not something you've been told. It's not something you read about, but it's something that you had to deal with. Amen. You had to deal with it, and I found out this one thing. If I didn't make it the first time, somehow or another, it sure came back. So I decided I better try to make it the first time. Because when it revisits you, it comes back worse. So the shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, he is our covering. He keeps us, strengthens us, encourages us, lets us know that no weapon that's ever formed against us will prosper. It can't prosper, Mom. It may look like it in your eyes that it is, but in actuality, it's not. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. But I have news for you. If you're not hearing the Word of God, you're going to be burnt. I want to be like the three Hebrew boys. I want to get caught up in the fire and come out not smelling like smoke. The Bible says, don't think it's strange, these fiery trials that you go through. Fiery, the word fiery is translated hotter than before. I done went through some stuff, Brother Tony. I couldn't blame nobody but me. But I was sure looking for God to get me out of it. And she was so kind and so loving. He said, I'm going to get you out of this one. But next time you're on your own. Because eventually he's going to say, it's time for you to grow up. Amen. My mother made me grow up quick. There was a bunch of us. I had four sisters, five brothers. Sisters was at home, and three of the brothers was at home. The two oldest was off. I mopped floors. I washed dishes. I had to learn to cook, because my mother couldn't cook. She think everything was good if it was burnt. The crispier the better. So I learned how to cook on my own. And my sisters and brothers appreciated it too. Who wants to eat burnt chicken? And she sit there and eat that burnt chicken and be just as happy, and then go in the freezer and break her a big piece of ice and sit there and break the ice and eat it. I said, that must be, maybe she do that to help her digest all that burnt food she eats. And that's the way God feels about us. He's ready for us to grow up and mature in the things of God. And get a clear understanding of what the Bible is trying to tell us. That if we hold fast to what we know in God, we can't be defeated. We can't be beaten. So we have to, I heard the strangest thing yesterday. I heard a young man, preacher, good friend of mine, he gave some folks some oil. And he told them, I'm going to give you 2 packs of oil. I hope you ain't watching this, brother. You know I love you. I'm giving you these two packs of oil. The first one you're going to put on your front door. You're going to anoint your front door, and the devil's going to run out the back door. Because you anointed your front door. If the devil in your house, you already got problems. If he doesn't live there as long as you have, he ain't going nowhere. Because you done anointed everything.
Yes, Lord.
There was a lady at the church. I went to Pastor. I said, I need you to go see her, see how she's doing. I said, Pastor, how come you can't go? He said, because I got a golf game. That was the end of that. I knew I was going. Do you know she had oil everywhere?
Oh, Lord.
From anointing. I said, why do you got all this oil all over your house? I'm anointing for demons. I started to ask her, Louise, did you think about anointing yourself? Because you might be looking in the wrong place for the demon. Ain't no power in this oil. The power is in you. It's just a point of contact. When Samuel poured that oil all over David, it didn't change him. He already knew who he was. It didn't make him any stronger. It didn't make him any wiser. He knew God. And that's what we have to do. Come to a place in our lives where we know God. Amen. And you ain't never going to know him if you don't read this book.
Amen.
You've got to read this book.
Amen.
This book has saved my life lots of times. Because I couldn't see no way out of a situation that I was in. And a word from God came to me from out of this book.
Amen.
And that word encouraged me to let me know, look here, this ain't something like you ain't been. See, I don't know about your God, but my God, my dad, he talks to me sometimes. And when he talks to me, sometimes it ain't very nice. He said, what you need to do, bruh, is put on your big boy underwear and grow up. And stop complaining about everything. And get in the race. Now, we all going to go through some stuff. Jesus said, Father, to be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, but you know what? I got a job to do. Nevertheless, your will be done.
Amen.
We better thank God he said that. Because whether you folks realize it or not, he didn't have to.
That's right.
He had the same right to make the same choices that we made.
Amen.
I'm glad.
Yes.
He chose to go to that cross. Because I'd be sitting in somebody's prison somewhere.
Exactly, yes.
I'm for real. Then look at Paul. They was always picking on Paul. Paul get mad and say, look here. I'm just as much an apostle as you are. I done traveled, I done been scantily clothed, I done been in places where I haven't had no food to eat, I done been in places where they done threw me out of the city, I've been stoned, I've been even beaten by my own countrymen, and it's against Jewish law for a Jew to beat another Jew. And he done went through all this stuff, and he done gave us all this word, and then he gets disgusted with himself, and he asks God, why have you sent Satan to buffet me? You better stop letting him buffet you.
Come on. Amen.
We have the greatest authority in our lives than we could ever have in our lives.
Yes.
And that's Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The living God.
Amen.
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 And I know how powerful He is. The only time I don't hurt is when I'm preaching. And don't that sound funny? You see how I go up and down those stairs?
Yeah.
I could probably run a marathon if I preached the whole way. That's just God just letting me know that my word is stronger and sharper than a two-edged sword.
That's right. Yes.
And I can touch bone and I can touch marrow. So that's why keep your eyes on Him.
Yes.
I love that sign. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which comes my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If He made it, He sure well can take care of it.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
So what? We got, me and my wife, we were coming from Cincinnati. And I don't know what plant it was, but the smog was coming through Toledo. The smog was so bad. I mean, it was just so bad that it covered the sky.
Yeah.
You couldn't even see, you didn't even know that it was, the sun was shining.
Yeah.
That's how thick it was.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, well, that's got to be destroying it. God is in control of everything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We ain't leaving here until He said we're leaving here.
Amen.
Folks worried about getting missiled.
No.
If they want to go missiling each other, I'm not going to worry about it. Because my Bible tells me I'm hearing God. And if God decides for me to go with the missile, then I'm just out of here. But if He don't, I'm going to drink me a Pepsi. And talk about how great my God is.
Amen.
I'm just as bad as Pastor Keys. During age, flying down the freeway, stabilizing bar was broke on both sides. A guy jacked the car up and said, let me show you something. He said, how long have you been driving on this car like this? I was like, a couple months, maybe. On each end of the stabilizer, it had cracked.
Oh, wow.
He said, mister, you must know God. I go, yeah. You think? Yes, I do. I tell him all the time. First thing I ever heard Brother Hart say, and I didn't know who he was talking about. He said, God protects fools and infidels. That's what he told me. I figured he was talking about me. I just don't know where I fall in there at. God will. I see these guys stumbling up and down the street. They stumble across 7 miles. You know they don't get hit. They don't get hit. They can barely walk, but they don't get hit. Let one of us try to walk across. We gonna get hit. My goodness. I just got a brand new car. Parked it in front of the church. Hadn't had it 2 weeks. A kid steals his uncle's car and slams into the back of the car. You think the insurance company would total it? No. Guess where they had to send to get the parts? Japan.
Oh, wow.
I was without a car for 3 months, waiting on the car to get in.
Oh, my God.
I said, well, Lord, at least I wasn't in it. Thank God. Because I have been out there checking somebody else's car and got hit. I done dodged bullets. Walked out of the church. Gun come out of a window. Barrel looked like it was about 6 foot long. Wow. And it was a handgun. And he just went to blasting. Shot the guy in the leg. Guy got out of the car and ran. I'm laying on the ground. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God protect. I'm gonna leave the fool part out. I put it back in there. Couple ladies got their purse stole out there. They come to the church and tell me, I'm back. I'm gonna go get the purse back. So I went out there, caught the guy, and took the purse back. Chest all poked out. I done did something. Turn around. Didn't know he had a friend.
Uh-oh.
38 sitting on my forehead.
Oh.
And he said, give me the purse. I said, you ain't getting the purse. You already got the gun on my head. He said, what do you think I should do? I said, you got the best hand. Yeah. And I could hear the Lord say, oh. I guess I got to save you again. That purse probably wasn't even worth it. After they got the purse back, they left the church. Almost got killed. And they decided to leave church. And to add stupidity to it, the guy don't know why he decided not to shoot me, but he decided not to shoot me and went to running down the street and let me have the purse. Guess what I did? I went and got my car. I went looking for it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I heard God say, yep, you sure fall in that category. Because you just don't know how to leave well enough alone.
Right.
Oh, man.
We got to use some common sense to this thing. Me and Rev had to learn to stop chasing cars on the freeway. When they cut us off. Some of y'all too. Why? Because God wants us to have patience.
Amen.
Sometimes God will put people in your path.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they will be just as nutty as a fruitcake. And then they're for one reason, to interfere with your character in God. And if you don't search them and catch them, you will fall right into the trap.
Come on now.
You'll fall right into the trap. So we need to stop asking God, where are you? I decided, Pastor, I'm not going to ask him no more. Because wherever I get in trouble, He's always there.
Amen.
He's always there. I had a court case. And I'm standing for this judge, and he about to make an example out of me. He knew I'm a preacher. He gonna make an example out of me. And I'm standing there. And all of a sudden he got this blank look on his face. Like he forgot what he was doing. And I'm looking at him, and I think Sister Sherry's with me, and I looked at Sister Sherry like this, looking at her, because I'm trying to figure out what's going on with him. And God said, I just can't help you, and you don't know it, can I? Whatever God did to him, he forgot what he wanted to do to me. And I've been waiting to run out of his courtroom. I didn't even look back. What? You know the Monopoly game?
Yeah.
Pass go? That's because God will take care of us.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Yes.
And you know what's so good about it? In spite of our foolishness.
Yes.
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 In spite of it. He will take care of us.
Yes.
So don't you say no more, God, where are you?
Amen.
I know I'm not.
Amen.
I'm not. Everybody stay. We went to the bowling alley to help Pastor Cheeks, not Thomas Cheeks, but his brother. And Therese beat me. How many games you beat me? One? You think you only beat me one? Nevertheless. I'm talking to God then. Lord, why you let him beat me? He ain't supposed to be beating me. And you know, he talks smack. The whole time he talking smack. Not just to me, but to everybody. Pastor Cheeks, he talking smack about Pastor Cheeks. Pastor Cheeks got a strike. Ugly strike, but he got a strike. Well, Elder Greenwood decides, why are you upset? You got a strike. What? How come this man always upset after he gets a strike? I'm glad of himself. He even preaches a little. But we had a good time. Amen. He put it. Just this morning, I want everybody to take somebody by the hand. We could write a book about our lives.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
And you know what? The crazy thing about it is most people would think it was fiction. They would think it was fiction because it's just so crazy and so far out. They would say, ain't nobody been through nothing like that.
Oh,
but you have. And you don't have to prove to nobody that you did, because you know you did. But guess what? You're still here. The enemy will try to take you out lots of times, but you're still here.
Amen.
So how long were you in that coma?
Longer than that.
I think it was a couple months. She was in a coma. A couple months. She's still here.
Oh, hallelujah.
I can call out different ones. Our niece had a watermelon in her belly. And you know what she had to deal with? Folks accusing her of fooling around and being pregnant. But she never missed a day of church. She never missed a day of work. And she took all the accusations that she got and kept moving. Come to find out, she had a tumor the size of a watermelon. Folks had to eat some crow. But Little John, he fights. He's a fighter. He's a fighter. He could have just sat down and gave up a long time ago. But when you got God in you,
man,
he gives you the authority to say, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to fight this fight.
Amen.
If I lose, I lose. But they don't know you've been in the fight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone that's got somebody by their hand today. Lord God, we are going through so many things that we can't tell nobody about. Because they ain't going to understand it, or they're going to prejudge us about what we're going through. So, Father, the only trust we have is in you. So, Father, I pray right now, by the glory of God, that the troubles and the trials and the tribulations that they're dealing with in their lives, that you would move by your Spirit right now, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Father, tearing down every dividing wall. Lord God, everything that would cause them to be unhappy. Lord God, let the peace of God that's past all understanding manifest itself in their lives. Father, as we head into a new week, we're going to head into some new circumstances, some new tribulations, some new trials. But Father, we know that in you we can do all things because you have strengthened us to do it. So Father, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. And we're not going to look to the left or to the right, but we're going to look forward. Our eyes are going to be on you. Yes. Hallelujah. Because if our eyes stay on you, we don't have to worry about singing.
Yes.
All right. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, Father, I pray that you bless them. That you move on them, Father. In the name of Jesus. You have your way, Father. And I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. And the church says,
amen. Amen.
Don't nobody know what you've been through, what you've been through. They don't know how hard it's been. They don't know how hard it's been. Because Jesus' name means the anointed one. Amen. Glory to God. I tell folks, you better keep your mouth off of people.
That's right.
Better mind your own business.
Right.
Because God still is a zealous God.
Amen.
Amen. This race. When I leave out here, run right on by the rich man. Well, he's still sitting someplace in there.
Yeah.
Almost say, see you, fella. You had the money, but I had the wisdom to serve God.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Oh. I'm excited because Pastor Arnie's preaching next week. I'm excited. I get excited when I don't have to preach. I'm a clown, I know it. I have to watch myself. Because I've been to say some stuff. I can honestly tell you, I know what it is to wrestle with a demon. Because I wrestled with one. Was I scared? Shoot, yeah. Yeah, I was scared. She was crawling all over the floor. I go back in there and look past the heart, he gone.
Oh.
I said, I can't handle this. I already know how this turned out. Remember Sister Diane? That little old lady with them out there? Three big men. She had to be 80 years old with them. I mean, she tore them up. I was in the garage laughing because I think we were recording. We was doing television. And I told them guys, that little lady beating the top crap out of them out there. So finally, Pastor Hart stopped preaching and went out there and cast whatever was in or out. But you should have saw them guys. They look like they've been in an exhibition fight. She was throwing around like they was paper.
Oh, wow.
And they was every bit my size.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I'm thinking that's what I'm about to get into over there. When I walk out and she's squirming all over the floor, I'm like, oh, they got to be kidding me. I'm not ready for this. God said, either you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, or get out of the ministry. I said, now you want to talk to me. So I got right down the floor with her. Where she crawled, Daddy, I crawled. Some of the stuff that was coming out of her mouth made me blush. All her family, they was about three seats back. Why y'all sitting with him? I'm down here crawling around with her. And then finally something happened. I felt the power of God manifest itself in my life.
Right. Oh yeah.
And I commanded that spirit to come out of that girl. By the time she got up, she walked out there in her right mind. She was doing great.
Praise God.
Then Pastor Hart decided to show back up. And he asked me, you got the victory, brother? I said, I'm tired, Brother Hart. I'm going home. That was a 3-hour episode. I mean, she crawled. She slithered just like a snake. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it for myself. You see it on TV and you think it's just a joke and funny. But when I saw her slithering over on the floor, I say, oh my God. You know I shouldn't have came into work today. Amen. But see, it don't stay like that. Because her father showed up one Wednesday morning, took his shoes off, What did he do with them shoes? He threw them somewhere, didn't he? He took his shoes off and threw them up on the platform. And I'm saying to myself, here we go again. Now he got it. Finally, he just got tired of me. I said, hey, look here, you got to go, man. I'm not going to wrestle with you. You got to go. He left them shoes too, didn't he, Pastor Arnie? He walked right out of here, left his shoes, left his shirt. This poor wife, she was with him. She was so embarrassed. I said, I'm getting too old for this. It's time for some of these young ministers to start fighting these men. Ain't that right, Elder Sean? We gotta get out of here. Anytime he agreed that quick.